It is the third Advent, okay? And the candle that we lit today, it's not really lit, we put it on because we don't want to burn this place down. I'd probably burn it down, is joy. We're talking about joy. And you know, have you ever been in a place where in your life where you're almost giddy about something? Come on, anybody? Giddy? Like woohoo! You know what I'm talking about? Okay, so here's the thing. I'm thinking back years ago when I was still in Chilliwack. I'm a young buck, right? And the fair came to Chilliwack. And that's a big deal back then. And Dad said to us as kids, we're going to go to the fair. And I was beside myself. I was so excited. I'm running around the house going, woo! And then I run into my mom's bedroom, and because I'm all so excited, pull the door open, she's changing. You never run into your mom's bedroom when she's changing. It's not a good idea. Okay, but I was so excited about the fact that the fair was coming to the town. And I think that we need to have those moments of giddiness, of joy once in a while. Don't you think that's a good thing? Yeah, that's right. That's right. Tell us, Ange. You know, here's the thing. I think many times we get this picture of Jesus, that Jesus, you know, it's the Hollywood Jesus. You know what I'm talking about? I got a picture up here. He's always serene and sort of sad. He's got a long face. He's got a halo around his head and all that stuff. You know, I don't really think that that's the true picture of who Jesus was. I love this next picture. I love that picture because I think that's a good picture of who Jesus was. He was one that was filled with exuberance. He was one that was filled with the joy of the Lord. He was one who had, at times, had a deep guttural laughter because of what God was doing. And I want to talk about that here this morning, about this Jesus who is so full of joy, that it was a guttural laughter that he experienced. I want to look at a portion of scripture that we don't usually look at during the Christmas season. And it's found in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, and I'm going to read just a few verses out of that. Luke 10, and I'm going to read 1 to 3, and then I'm going to jump to 17 to 21. This is what it says. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Now jump from there to verse 17. It says this, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submitted to us in your name. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the powers of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your name are written in heaven. Father, thank you for your word here today. Thank you, Lord, that when we think of our Savior, we can remember the fact that he knew what it was to be exuberant before you. And Lord, as we look into this portion here this morning, I pray in Jesus' name, would you open up our hearts to receive from you, open up our minds, God, and help us to apply that which we hear this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to talk to you about joy. And first thing I want to talk to you is that we need to have joy in every circumstance. Let me remind you about what the definition is of joy. The dictionary says that joy is the emotion of great delight or happiness caused by something exceptionally good or satisfying. You gotta love that picture, come on. Snoopy, like that's awesome, I love that picture. I love what the Bible dictionary says about joy. It says, it is a positive attitude or pleasant emotion or delight. Now, I have to tell you that there are times in my life that I've experienced real joy, serious joy, okay? Well, maybe more happiness than joy, I guess. I'm going to give you a 37-second view of pure, unadulterated joy and happiness. So let's fire that video up here. 37 seconds.
River, having a great time. I got a fish on. David got a fish on. Trying to bring her in. Ron's got a fish. Ooh, I just stepped on a dead fish. Yum. So go figure. I've got two fish on here. I've got a buck. He's got the line through his mouth and the doe below him. Oh, yeah, now the buck's gone. Now I just got the doe.
Okay, that's not the fish that I caught, but I just wanted you to see what it feels like to actually hold a fish. I mean, that's beautiful. Isn't that beautiful? Come on. That's absolutely beautiful. But here's the thing. We don't always have those moments where it's that expression of, woohoo, I got what I wanted, right? Sometimes it's raining outside. Sometimes you can't go to the river. Sometimes you can't do what you like to do, and those happy moments aren't there. Can we still experience joy in the moments where life isn't all that great? And I say yes. See, because joy is not dependent on circumstances, is it? True biblical joy is not dependent on circumstances. I love what Rick Warren said, and I used this quote before. Joy is a settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life, the quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right, and the determined choice to praise God in every situation. Joy is something that we can't conjure up in ourselves, folks. It's something that God places in our lives and that He helps us to live out. See, here's what it says back here in Luke chapter 10. That 72, they were sent out, and it says, and Jesus said to them, listen, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Now, I want you to stop and think about this for a second, what Jesus is telling these guys to do. Now, I used to be in farming, you know that, and I remember that in the summer when we would do harvest time, the worst is we used to bale the hay right onto the wagon, okay? So the hay would go off the baler and it would go onto the wagon, and what we would do is we'd grab the bales and we'd stack them. Well, I don't know if anybody ever do baling, hay baling? Okay, anybody ever bale hay onto a wagon? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. You got to move fast because these bales come up fast. You just grab them, you put them up, and you grab them. I mean, it's good exercise. Let me just tell you, it's great. But see, here's what's happened. It is hot. It's a hot summer day. I haven't drunk for a while. Like, we're talking water here, okay? And I'm sitting there, and I'm bailing, and I'm starting to feel woo-hoo-zy. You know what I'm talking about? And I almost fell off the wagon, and I'm not talking about the way you're thinking, but I'm talking about I almost... And it was tough. See, what he's telling them here is this. He says, look, guys, I've got a harvest for you to go and reach out to. And it's not just one field. He says, I'm sending you out to the province of Judah. I'm sending you out to an entire province. 72 people to an entire province. What an incredible amount of work. And it gets better. It gets better. Listen to what it says. He says, go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Now, I don't think that's such a good idea. Can you just think about that for just a second? Imagine you've got little Daisy, and you love little Daisy. She's your little lamb. And you say to her, Daisy, I want you to go out and play. See over there, there's a pack of wolves. Go have fun. Bah. You know? Like, how long do you think Daisy's going to last in a pack of wolves? She's not going to last very long. And this is what Jesus says. He says, again, oh, by the way, I'm going to send you lambs out there. There's a bunch of wolves, but you'll be fine. Just go get. And it gets better. It gets better. He says, look, I want you to go out there, but here's the thing. Don't take a wallet. Don't take no money. Don't take a backpack. Just go. Don't even take an extra pair of shoes. Just go out there and do your thing. Now, wait a minute. Jesus, are you serious? Like, I mean, how am I gonna pay for my motel room? How am I gonna buy myself a cheeseburger at McDonald's? Backpack, where am I gonna carry my blanket? You know I need my laptop, Jesus, like seriously. And Jesus is saying to them, yeah, here's the thing. I am sending you out with one thing, and that's faith in me. And see, folks, joy in each circumstance starts when we say, it doesn't depend on anything else. It depends on faith in Christ. And when we start with that premise, that's when we can experience true joy. And folks, I want to encourage you here. It says that they were sent out, and it says that 72 returned in verse 17 with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submitted to us in your name. I'll get back to that in a second. But the incredible thing is that when they did what Jesus asked them to do, he showed up. He showed up in a very big way. Now, that doesn't mean if we go and do all the things that God's called us to do, it's going to be easy. It's not. Let's be honest. He sent them like sheep among wolves. It was tough. But God filled them with joy because they followed through. So joy comes even those difficult circumstances. Secondly, joy comes through the Spirit. Verse 21 says this, at that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit. Now, this is where I want to camp for just a second. Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit. When I was doing my research on this, I found that there was actually two words that are used here in the original language, and they mean to jump, to gush, to leap, to spring up is what they mean. So it wasn't just Jesus going, yeah, woohoo. It was that when Jesus saw these guys come back, he was jumping and dancing and leaping before the Lord. When's the last time you thought of Jesus jumping and leaping and dancing? We always think of Jesus, you know, pious with the white dress on and all that stuff. Jesus showed incredible emotion, but here's the thing. This came because the Holy Spirit came upon him. Folks, can I just say something here this morning? I think it's very unfortunate that we as believers aren't filled with the joy of the Lord. I think it's very unfortunate that in some churches, it's even discouraged. My parents, my mom especially, she told me that when she was growing up in the church that they attended, they were supposed to sit a certain way. They were not allowed to smile, laugh, absolutely not, right? They had to sit with their hands folded and always have a very serene look on their face. I think that's dumb. I really do. I think that is complete stupidity because it's not biblical. I think that God wants us to rejoice. If you don't believe me, let me give you a couple of verses, okay? Just so you can write these down someplace. I honestly believe God wants us to shout to God with cries of joy. Psalm 47:1. You can write that down someplace. I believe that God wants us to take up the tambourine. No, I mean, don't everybody take up the tambourine because it can be very irritating. But it says, take up your tambourine and go out in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 4, it says, go out. Ready? I'm ready for this. Okay, this might be stretching your faith just a bit. But it says this, go out and dance with the joyful. Hallelujah! When was the last time you danced before the Lord? It says here that we are to rejoice in the presence of God. This is Bible stuff, guys. Folks, this is Bible stuff. I haven't made this up. But see, I think people don't experience that type of joy because they have not asked the Holy Spirit to fill them with that joy. It's interesting, you know, as a pastor, through the years, I've heard a number of different complaints. I know it's hard to believe. Don't like the type of music. Don't like the clothing people are wearing. Actually, at one time, they didn't like the way I did my hair. That's when I had it, right? But all sorts of, don't like the type of sermon illustrations that I use. I'll be honest, as a pastor, I just said, thank you for your thoughts and your comments. But I often think, we might be missing something here. We may be missing the fact that God is doing something great. He is doing something. Yesterday is an example. Yesterday, we were out at Cedar Gardens. To see, and I'm going to show you a video on this in a few weeks. But to see these people, Cedar Gardens, for those that don't know it, it's a very, very low-income complex here in town. And we go out there once a month, and we do a barbecue or meal for them, and we were able to provide them a turkey dinner. Donnie, bless you, my friend. And we were able to provide a beautiful turkey dinner, and we had gifts. You brought all those gifts of packages in. You know what they said to me, folks? They said to me, why are you doing this? I had a number of people come to me and say, why? I don't understand. And I said, well, because God loves you. Because we love you. Because we wanna let you know how important you are to God. And they just couldn't get around that. See, folks, when we are doing the work of the Lord, and I'll talk about that more in a minute, but when we start doing the work of the Lord, that joy starts to flood our soul. Let me tell you, it starts to flood our soul. Jesus, with joy of the Holy Spirit, he was dancing before his disciples. Thank you, God. Thank you for what you're doing in my disciples. Thank you. Can you see it? We need to have that kind of joy, folks. Joy comes through the Spirit. Can I encourage you this? If that joy isn't in your heart, can I encourage you to ask God to fill you with his Holy Spirit? To fill you anew. God, I need that joy. Spirit of God, flood my life. Fill me with more of you, so I can be joyful to you. Joy comes in the circumstances. It comes through the Spirit. Lastly, it comes in submission, through service unto him. Verse 17 says this, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Jesus had given the 72 the authority to go out and to preach the word. But in doing so, he gave him the authority to come against the very demonic forces that were trying to destroy them. How many of you know that the same power that was back there is in here today? It's available to us today. Come on, how many of you actually know that? See, here's the thing. Running through these walls in this church, there are wires. And they go to little receptacles like that one right there. And it's beautiful. Isn't that a beautiful receptacle? That's just such a wonderful thing, right? Big deal. It only becomes useful if you got to plug something in there. You hearing me? The only way the power of God becomes effective is if we're plugged into him. If we are taking from his power, and that starts when we are serving him. When we are doing the work that God has called us to do. See, here's the thing. And again, going back a little bit about people being disgruntled and stuff. I have yet to see a person that is doing the work of the Lord, really investing in the work of the Lord, be disgruntled. Because they have no time for being disgruntled. They're working here, man. They're doing their thing. And we need to be doing that work, folks, so that God can work through us. And see, here's the thing. We look at it, we think, well, I don't know if I could do Cedar Gardens. I don't know. This Tuesday, I'm taking the teens out to Tent City, Pastor Manveer and myself. And we're going to go with Radhika, and we're going to go and we're going to provide soup for them. And you may be sitting there and going, man, I don't know if I could do that kind of thing. Man, I wouldn't know what to say. I wouldn't know, maybe if I told somebody about Jesus, they may laugh at me. You know? And we get so consumed of the what ifs that we don't see the possibilities when we have the Spirit of God in us and the joy He brings when we are serving Him. Folks, we need to serve Him, and that's where joy comes. And secondly, it comes through salvation. See, here's what it says in verse 20. However, do not rejoice that the Spirit submit to you, but rejoice that your name is what? That your name is written in heaven. I love seeing miracles. I love seeing God do great things. I love seeing people healed. I love seeing all sorts of wonderful things happen. But there's no miracle like salvation, folks. There's no miracle like this week where we were sitting at coffee. I wasn't there, but other pastors were there. And we had our custodian, who is a Sikh lady, come to them and say, I watched this production last week, and I don't understand, what does it mean to make somebody Lord? Or why did Jesus have to suffer like that? You know, that's a beautiful thing where God is stirring her heart. The miracle of salvation, we've got to be praying for more of that, folks. We've got to be engaged in bringing that wonderful, powerful message of hope to a world that is lost and are hopeless in their situations. And you know what I find so interesting about this word written? I love that word written because the word means to inscribe like onto a stone. I remember none of you guys ever, this happened to any of you, I know that. But I remember as a kid, my parents would take off for a night or to the church or whatever, and we would be left at home alone, or I was left home alone, and I'm thinking, my parents should be home right now. They're not home yet. Maybe the rapture occurred. Maybe I've been left behind, and I'd be starting to sweat. Nobody here has ever experienced that, right? 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 So I'd phone the church, because I thought if somebody's going to pick up. The worst is if it just rang and rang and rang and rang. You've heard the story of the camp you've heard the story where they wanted to play a trick on the director, and everybody folded their clothes and they put it on the side and they just disappeared. Poor guy comes out and everybody's gone. He's going, "Dear Jesus, please don't leave me behind." But here's the truth behind this. The truth is, when we've committed our life to Christ, He wrote our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know what I love? And you need to underline this scripture. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. It says this, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may what? So that you may what? Know that you have eternal life." What a credible, incredible word of encouragement that is. See, I don't believe that we can lose our salvation like I lose my keys. See, if I lost my salvation like I lost my keys, I'd be in big trouble, okay? I believe we can choose to reject it. We can choose to walk away from it, but it's not like something you can lose, like my keys. God has given us that eternal hope, and that should bring us joy. That should bring us joy. Jesus said, "Rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Lastly, we need to rejoice through his sovereignty. The greatest joy, folks, isn't found in our service, or it isn't even found in our salvation. The greatest joy is found in knowing that God's got it all under control. The joy is knowing that God is not trying to figure things out and left us hanging and saying, "Okay, wait a minute, I got to see how I can make this work for them." No, it's knowing that what He is doing is always for the best, and He can be trusted. He can be trusted, and you can trust Him. It says in verse 21, Jesus says, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. He's not talking about little wee people. He's not talking about kids. He's talking about revealing the truth, the wonders of God to those that have a childlike heart that will trust God and trust his sovereignty no matter what the situation we find ourselves in. See, folks, I believe that God wants to give us joy. I believe it with all my heart. I believe he wants to fill our lives with more of his presence. And if you are here today and you're saying, man, I don't know. I don't really have that. I don't have that sense of wonder and contentment and that joy. Can I encourage you with something? Can I encourage you to say, God, would you pour it in? I don't want to conjure it up because it's not going to be real. It won't be. But if you pour it in, if you give me more of your Holy Spirit, it is going to be something absolutely dynamic. Father, I pray this morning. I pray for your people here today during this Christmas season. Lord, we sing this song, Joy to the World. And sometimes we just sing the words, but we don't even believe them. We look at our circumstances and situations and we say, Lord, there's no joy here. God, I pray for those today that may be in this room that maybe have experienced some sort of loss or difficulty and that they've been robbed of that joy. Spirit of God, would you put it back? Would you put it back? Would you fill them with such a wonder of you and let them know that you have their future in your hand, that you have their best interest in mind? And though right now it may not look like you are in control, Father, would you reveal your love to them and fill us with your joy, Father? Lord, we can experience happiness because of circumstances, but joy comes through your Spirit. And so, Spirit of God, would you just infuse us with that joy that comes through you? We pray this in your precious name. Amen. Why don't we